Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Kevin, who is an award-winning CEO, entrepreneur, director and producer, and also co-founder of BKN Creative. Today, we're going to be discussing Kevin's journey as an entrepreneur and touching on some topics such as employee morale and transparency within your agency. Thanks so much for joining us today, Kevin.
Thanks so much for having me, Julia. I'm excited to be here.
Great. Well, I'm excited to have you with us. So let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. Sure. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
I am tuning in from sunny, beautiful Tampa, Florida.
Amazing. I'm so jealous. I am just outside of Toronto in Ontario, Canada, and we are just in like the middle of winter right now. So
yeah, this is probably attractive to me right now for sure.
Totally. So what motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
You know, really, it all comes down to your why as a human, right? Your why as a human, and then your why in business. And really, what motivates me is my why, and that is that I want to make an impact on this world, both professionally and personally. And I developed a brand where I'm capable of touching many different avenues, right? Not only impacting our team members, but also the client base that we have, and the type of model that our agency is as well. So really, what motivates me is doing and something in the world that motivates people to think and to change. And then of course, my relationship, my husband, who also happens to be our CCO and co-founder, he motivates awesome. Me well.
Nice. That's awesome. That's such a great reminder, because I think as entrepreneurs, it's really easy to kind of get caught up in your head and forget about the reason why you started it. And, yeah. You know, just have that reminder of what that passion was that started the whole thing. So great reminder. And how did you get into digital marketing originally?
That's a great question. I actually used to work for Whole Foods Market in New York City in marketing. And so that was really the path that got me into marketing in general. And certainly as the digital era started to grow, that is where it shifted, right? Because I'm in my mid-30s. So really the digital age was growing as I was growing into an adult. And so marketing really shifted from traditional marketing into digital. And that's really what got me on the path. I moved into some companies on their marketing team as both a creative and marketing for strategy. And then also digital, which is where creative would support digital. And so with that, I moved into a couple of agencies, and then I decided to leave the agency world to open my own so that I could really control the narrative of how our agency would run.
Oh, that's so cool. So give us a little bit more of your story of starting BKN Creative and, sure. You know, how you guys differentiate yourselves from other agencies.
I love that. Well, okay. So the agency that I own is BKN Creative, and we're a full service creative and marketing agency. We're actually a minority owned agency. We are a certified LGBTQE. Agency, and that is through the NGLCC, which is the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce here in the US. And awesome. So with that, we are 100% LGBTQ owned. And so the reason that I say that is, you know, when I left the agency world to create my own agency, I really did it for a main motivation, and that was to fulfill one of the dreams that my husband actually told me about when we were dating, and that was that he really wanted to own an agency. And I knew that I could do that for him and for us. And, and so that was kind of the focus at first. But really, it was, you know, the agency world is sometimes, the agency world really includes marketing, creative, and advertising, PR, kind of all lumped in. And that is oftentimes really focused on a lot of money, right? Like, like get that client in, make that money. And that didn't resonate as much with me. I really wanted to work with people who loved what they did. They had a passion for what they did, and their why was really based off of a passion. And so I wanted to create an agency that, number one, focused on that, right? Working with other entrepreneurs, whether it be a small business or all the way up into big corporations, that really were motivated by a certain why, that focused on some sort of a passion or something that they're creating or changing in the world to for the betterment of people's lives. And so I wanted to create a space that really was for that and not as money as the main motivator. And then the second idea that I really wanted to focus on was the idea of really folding in our underserved communities and other minorities to offer them a role, to let them know that they can actually work in the agency world. Because oftentimes and historically, it's been a very white male dominated field. And yeah. I really wanted to work to start to combat that a little bit, to say, the agency world is open for all. And so one of the things that we focus on here is that the minority inclusion, as far as for both our clients and for our staff members. And so that was kind of the overall scope of why I started it, and then kind of the path that got me to here.
I love that. It's so unique. And I love the inclusive aspect of all of it. So that's awesome. And then... So what do you love most about running an agency?
I love our team. I think that that's the best part of it. We have such an incredible team. And it's funny because we have my husband and I who are the owners. We have my mother-in-law who is our CFO. And then, so it's a family business as well. So we also have our niece working with us as our executive assistant. And then we have my cousin joining us from New Mexico, and she is one of our interns. And then we have a staff.
Oh, no way. That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. But we also have a staff of all women. It's shook out that way. But we also touch, you know, every color on the spectrum. We touch, you know, many things to make sure that we were really inclusive in our hiring. And it just kind of worked that way, right? The person that we hired was like perfect for the job, perfect for our team, and perfect for our agency. And so... now I'm losing the start to that question, but that kind of is the overall of that.
Okay, perfect. And then what are the biggest challenges that you encounter on a day-to-day basis?
Oh gosh. You know, the challenges, and I think COVID had a lot to do with this, is, you know, in the agency world, losing a big client can really severely impact your business. Mm-hmm. And so that is always... You know, as you move into becoming bigger, and our agency has seen a huge growth since COVID, we are now at 11 team members total, which includes both Brandon and I, who is my husband. And that's, you know, full-time benefits, all that kind of stuff comes with, you know, hiring so that you can really take care of the humans that work with your brand.
Yes.
And and so I think that the challenges have mostly been the maintaining of relationships while combating what people are historically used to when it comes to an agency. And so we're kind of having to work against a narrative, you know, of agency owners that perhaps don't totally know what they're doing and are selling services that actually they're not, that aren't helping their client, or, you know, these bigger agencies that charge outrageous amounts of money. And oftentimes a client doesn't know where that goes. And so, you know, those things are we actively work to combat, but the way that we've structured our business is really intuitive of combating that as well. But our biggest challenge is, you know, you have people's lives in your hands, their income. And that is, you know, that has some weight. I think it has a lot of weight in general. And I, you know, who I am as a human, it's very important that we take care of people. That's why we started our own agency. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's probably the biggest challenge, to make sure that we are always delivering on what we promise, that we're always fully transparent when it comes to our client relationships and our team member relationships as well. Mm-hmm. And so it would really land on that. It's just maintaining, you know, an environment for both our clients and our team, without falling into the, you know, the trap of, you know, of making a lot of money, because that is, you know, once you start to grow and get on a path, those bigger dollar projects definitely start to come into your agency. And and thus you can lose a little bit of that structure and your original idea and all that kind of stuff. And so we work really hard to do those things. But I think that those are probably the biggest challenges.
Yeah, I love that you just keep that integrity at the forefront of everything that you guys do. I think that's so important as a business owner. Yeah. So I'd love to hear a little more about how you build a collaborative and passionate team within your agency.
Yeah, that's a really smart one. I was fortunate enough to work with some pretty incredible people in my past, and I've really focused on recruiting those people as well. Of course, you know, legally and to be fair, we always open up our roles to everyone and treat any applicant as the same as if we knew somebody and worked with somebody in our past. But with that, we were fortunate enough to know, you know, people personally, understand where their passions lie and why they do what they do, and their skill set and their talents. And so with that, you know, the agency started with just me, with my husband helping on the side. And then we were able to get to a point where he was able to join us. And the funny story is I also do some acting on the side too, as you know, a fun thing. And somebody in my acting class actually came up to me and they're like, "Hey, you take interns. I'm majoring in communications at USF. I'd love to do an internship there." And I'm like, "Okay, yeah, let's do it."
That's awesome.
And she actually ended up graduating and growing into what is now our social media and community manager. Her name is Shania.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so we really have focused the primary, and this is what we say to all of our clients as well, and it really translates into who we hire to, is that we focus on being humans and people first, and then we do business second. And so even in our interview process, we're really diving into who people are, what motivates them, and why it motivates.
Yes.
Because ultimately that always translates into the success of your work. Like who you are as a human, that translates. And
yeah.
So that is really what we focus on as well. And of course we're in creative space, right? So we look at portfolios and we understand, you know, the process of how somebody created something.
Yeah.
And then on the marketing side, of course, we're really looking for that analytical piece, right? That strategy piece. And so our focus, in hiring the right people. And we've definitely been in a position where we hired the wrong one, you know, but we really listen to our gut and it's a vote. So we actually get input from every single person on our team who is in our interview. So we have a panel interview and we're a smaller agency. So everyone can contribute, everyone can meet that person and everyone can ask a question.
Okay.
And so, and then we vote at the end to see how everyone feels about hiring that certain person. And we take that into account. And so it is a team discussion and everyone either buys in or we keep looking. And so, and that has really been successful to who we have found and hired. We're also fortunate enough where, you know, in Tampa Bay, our agency, and it's not only Tampa Bay, we also have a little bit of a market in Denver because I'm from Colorado originally, but we're known, and we're known as an agency that is minority-owned agency that is focused on really, you know, raising our community and offering roles to those who may not think that they are capable of having that role, or certainly have been told in the past that they aren't capable. And so we're known for that. And we've also won several awards now as an agency, and that I think has shifted the idea of who we are as BKN Creative, and that we are, you know, human focused, that we are people first, and relationship first, and that has really attracted the right people too.
I love that.
But we're very intuitive about, you know, who we're hiring and why we are picking somebody specifically, and the way that we're set up. You know, is we are fully transparent with our team members, you know, and they know that we are as well. We're very accessible. You know, my husband and I put in a lot of time. We are still very much in our clients and we still lead accounts. And, you know, I still clean the bathroom. And so like that is kind of this environment where we're all equal. It doesn't matter like, who you are. What the title is, or it doesn't matter. You know, I always like to say, and I won't cuss, but I always like to say we all poop the same, right?
Yeah.
It's all that way.
Yeah.
And nothing separates us when it comes to that. So that's kind of how we act here at our agency, and certainly how we hire as well.
Oh, that's so interesting. And then, so do you have any tips for maintaining employee morale?
I do. That kind of goes back into that fully transparent thing. But the number one thing is, you know, team members are all, they choose to work with you, right? And they choose to collaborate with you and be in your space and contribute to your brand. And as such, you should take care of them, just like they take care of you.
Yes.
And so we do a lot of team building things. So one of the things that we actually do every Monday morning is we hold a Monday morning meeting, and we start off with some sort of a fun group activity. It can be pretty basic, like, how was your weekend? Tell us one thing that was great. Or it can be complex, and we're finding out what emojis mean, you know, based off of the line of emojis and what the movie is, or something like that. So it can be pretty fun. Each week we have one person on our staff that leads that meeting. And so they're actually creating the team build, the mini team build for that.
Oh, nice.
And then they're ending the meeting with a motivational quote as well to take into the week. And that's also when we do a project overview for our clients to see where our hours are and, you know, if anybody needs anything. So we're always kind of touching points. In addition to that, we actually hold a quarterly, what we have dubbed a BKN Fry. Yes. And that is a team build. And more recently, we actually took our entire team to something here called Triumph in Brandon, or it's actually in Bradenton, Florida. And it is a ropes course. And we specifically did so that, yeah, people could really dive into their confidence and feel like they can combat something if they don't totally know how to get through it.
Yeah.
But it's a full day. So it's a full paid day on our staff, and we take them to multiple things. So we did this thing, you know, for 4 hours, had this lovely lunch, and then we went to an immersive art experience that's here in St. Pete as a dual thing to learn a little bit more about one of our clients, who's another immersive art experience opening here called Crab Devil. And then also so that our team can enjoy an additional thing for the day. And it's always about the team build aspect and like how to trust each other and how to communicate. And those things we do quarterly. And we fly out our team members from New York and from Colorado or New Mexico, and then also from South Florida, so we all can come together and have fun and learn each other and all that kind of stuff. And so realistically, it's about taking care of your team. We also have a comprehensive benefits package, even as a small agency. And one of the things that we incorporated here was something called DTO, and that's discretionary time off. And that's becoming a little bit more popular. And the great thing about DTO is you can take as much time as you want off during the year, as long as you're doing your work, right? And so sometimes we'll have a team member that takes 7 weeks throughout the year off, you know? And it lends itself to this kind of fully transparent idea of, you're doing great. Yes, take that vacation. Please take the time off so that you have a good work-life balance. Mm-hmm. And that is that's pretty important to us. And then the other idea is we've created a space where mental health is really important. And, you know, if somebody's not doing well, if they're having not a great day, go home and just say, I'm taking a mental health day today. Great. And so people can really feel taken care of and loved. And I think that is oftentimes what is missing in, you know, certainly in huge corporations that can start to get lost, right? Because their bottom line is really important.
Yeah.
And while that is definitely important, taking care of the people who take care of you is even more important.
Yes. Oh, I think that's so groundbreaking, having just a mental health day. You know, like, you don't hear about companies supporting that at all. It's one of those things you're expected to just kind of suck it up and just get on with the job.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it really, yeah, it makes someone feel so like taken care of, like you said. And yeah, I think that's so important.
Well, and I think, and you know, you can expand upon those things too. You know, one of the things that we do, and I'll give an example. We have a team member who, you know, her partner, they're living separately right now. He's in California and she's here, and she doesn't get to see him very often. And so the few times that he's been visiting, or certainly that she's been out there, you know, she hadn't taken the time off. And, you know, I could definitely, and this is being intuitive with your team by knowing them.
Yeah.
I could tell that she was thrilled, right? She wasn't happy to not have her last few days when he's here with him because she's at work. And I said, you know what, where are you? What do you have right now? These are the few things. Okay, I will take care of those things. What I want you to do is I want you to leave. I want you to go spend your last 2 days with your boyfriend before he leaves and then come back.
Yeah.
All good. And so since we have DTO, since we're so intuitive with each other, we can do that.
That's so cool.
And so she's able to go and do that. So it expands even beyond, you know, knowing who is working for you or who's collaborating with you is so important because mm-hmm. you can take care of them. And those moments, those are the moments that are important and go into your heart. And that's how everyone should operate. And so that's what we focus on doing.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. And how does this, this culture that you've developed, how does that impact your employee retention?
Well, we haven't had anybody leave quite yet. We've definitely
not surprising.
Especially as we have grown, we've, when you start an agency initially, especially as you're building up your reserves and in your business, you have more contractor based things. And so of course those have more gone through some great relationships, but they've gone on to, let's say, a full-time job that was available at that time. Mm-hmm. But since we have really skyrocketed and started to really grow our team member base, we've been able to hold on to that. And there's a reason why. We also have a minimum payment that we do here, and it is a living sustainable wage. That's very important.
Amazing.
So not only do we have that, then we have these great benefits and this culture of taking care of each other. And I think that that has really lended itself well into who we are now. Mm-hmm. And certainly the team members that we've been able to keep. But it kind of goes back into that fully transparent thing. The culture and the thing that I always say in meetings and to everyone is always lead from love. In any decision that you're making or any conflict that you may have, mm-hmm. lead from love. So if you are on a call and somebody's like being a little intense, you can actually be like, I'm going to call you real quick. I noticed that you're kind of being a little bit, off. Are you okay? Like, is there anything that I can help with you? Mm-hmm. And when you decide to do that, that's leading from love. And mm-hmm. that will always typically take a situation to make it a little bit better.
Yeah.
And so, that's kind of what I always say and focus on. And I think that that has lent itself well into creating an environment that people want to be at, right? That they feel good about their contributions. And lastly, with that is recognition and always being thankful. And so one of the things that we have done, and I am gonna have to say, I took this from Whole Foods because this was Whole Foods back in the day prior to Amazon coming in, but they did something there that I loved, and it was something called appreciations. And what that means is that, you don't have to give an appreciation, but if you feel that somebody's kind of going above and beyond and doing this great thing, you appreciate them in a forum that's public. Right. And so every Monday meeting, every Monday morning meeting, we also hold appreciations right before our quote. So that gives our team the time and the breath to appreciate this other person. And it's not forced. You don't have to do it. Totally good. But if you feel compelled to appreciate somebody, that is a big deal. And thanking somebody for what they've done. Thank you so much for working on that. You did an incredible job. And always focusing on lifting up people with the what they produce.
Yeah.
I think all of that stuff is what retains people.
I love that. So inspiring. So let's talk a little bit more about transparency. So,
Sure. So
how would you describe what transparency looks like within your agency and how it impacts your team specifically?
Sure. I'll focus on our client. And so one of the things that we say is we're a fully transparent agency. And how we do that is by measuring our hours that we spend on a particular project for both outside projects and retainer-based clients. Mm-hmm. And what that means is when somebody is paying you, let's say $10,000 a month to run their marketing, right? And when you're doing digital, you have a newsletter, you have your social media marketing, you have content creation. There's a whole, span of whatever services that you're offering mm-hmm. them. We're actually measuring that down to the minute. And so that's pretty powerful because oftentimes they're like, well, you can pay us, $10,000 a month. And these are the things that we do for you. And you're like, okay, what's the measure? Like what kind of the idea of like measuring success, right? So your mm-hmm. output, we have an hourly agency rate that's based on your business size. It doesn't change. It is the same for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so, based on your business size. So if you're a startup, you have a certain rate. If you are a mid-level, certain, and then a top corporate, you have a certain rate as well. Mm-hmm. And so that is all measured by hours. And that hour is measured by our agency rate, not an individual. And so, if we're doing multiple things, we're fitting that within the hour. And so it's a little bit more cost effective for our client. And it fits again into that fully transparent of, hey, you're paying us $10,000 a month. Based off of that $10,000 a month, this is how many hours you get based off of your rate. Mm-hmm. Here are your end of month hours reports so that you can see exactly who's working on your brand, what we've done with the description, and oftentimes why we did what we did at the time. And so that's kind of an overall reporting as far as like somebody who's paying us. In addition to that, we really focus on visiting strategies every month. And so oftentimes you'll do a strategy or a plan that is for the year, but that shifts throughout the year. And so you have to be on looking at that on a quarterly basis and certainly on a monthly basis, especially in digital marketing, because content is what I like to say queen now, because it doesn't have to be king, right? Content is queen.
Yes.
And with that, that basically means that your focus has to be on your content and the reason why you're doing what you're doing with that content. And so we have those conversations with our clients. We also let them know what's not working. And then the biggest thing that we do is we will be honest about something that we do not know, do not understand, or need to learn on, always, because there's no room to fake it really till you make it, right? Now, I think historically, yes, like you can definitely like go in and be like, yeah, I'm gonna do this and I'll learn on the way and I'll act like I know what I know. And I understand that. And I think that all of us have had a version of that in our life. But with that, when somebody's paying you $10,000, you be honest. You be honest about what you don't know, right?
Yeah.
Because that goes into what you could lose. If you're not honest about those things, you can lose that client and thus impact every team member on your team. And that is something that is outrageously important to me. And so with that, we're always honest about something that we don't know. Or if something happens, you know, and I can say recently, it's actually a website that we won an AAF award for, which is an advertising award for, a very interactive, gorgeous website.
Nice.
But we were working with a developer outside of our normal developers because we were busy on a couple of other websites.
Yeah.
That developer actually ended up being a scam artist and, it was very intense. I inserted myself, which took care of it, thank God. But we had to go to our client and say, hey, you may be seeing some of this kind of stuff, but we want you to know that we're handling it and, you know, everything is going to be okay. We'll keep you updated. So instead of being like, oh shit, let's hope, you know, let's hope that they aren't, you know, going to see this. It's like, oh no. You jump in front of that, fully transparent. This is what's happening.
Yeah.
And always going to help you. And so I think that when it comes to our team members then, which is the second part of your question is, when they see us being fully transparent with our client who is paying us, they know that we're going to also do the same for them and give that same respect that we would give to a client, to our team.
Right. Yeah.
And they're also expected to be fully transparent as well. And so those are big things. The other thing that we do that goes into transparency is we actually require our clients to meet with us on a consistent basis. And whether that's weekly or biweekly, they must meet with us and we have to have a time to do it. And the reason that we is, that gives us the opportunity to ask questions, have comments or concerns. Every meeting I say any comments, questions or concerns so that they can actually have the floor to be able to talk to us about something. It also makes us progress always. So it holds everybody accountable. And I think the way that we've really structured all of that lends itself into being fully transparent. And that is good. The other thing that goes with that is I will always protect my team. So I don't care who you are. I don't care what your role is in the business. If you treat my team member poorly, we're going to have a conversation. And I'm going to err on the side of my team, because even if they made a mistake or they don't know something, that's a mistake and they don't know. Right. And so with that, that's a growth opportunity. Right. And I always say that things are growth opportunities because we are always learning. We are always growing. And as such, I communicate that to our client. If I lose the client based off of protecting my team member, okay, that's fine, because that is important. Now, obviously, if there's corrective action, there's something involved with that, then of course, we would work that out. But I'm always going to support who our team is. And so with that, that also comes with it. So, you know, if we've had somebody come at us that's a little bit rude, I will absolutely jump in and I'll say, yeah, I'm going to take over this real quick. This is not how we act at BKN Creative. And it's not our expectation that you act that way. What I expect is for you to be a professional and for you to deliver your message leading from love. And yeah. So with that, that's always, and that really goes into it too, you know, because I think a lot of times, and I've certainly been in a, you know, lower level position in my past at an agency world where my boss took that client and I was just, I'm like, oh my God, I didn't do that, you know? And so
that's so frustrating.
It is. And that is a non-negotiable for me. I do not do it. I don't play that game.
Yeah.
And I never will. And so I think that has lent itself not only well to, you know, who our client is, because if I approach them and I'm like, hey, that wasn't okay. That's not how we act here. And so I do want to talk to you about that. I think that they appreciate their opportunity to grow, but they're also met with, oh, Kevin doesn't play with that. Oh, okay. Yeah, let's get onto a page where we can work together.
Yeah.
And then our team knows that I will always take care of them as well. So I think that also has really lent itself into that fully transparent model mm-hmm. that we preach and that we live by.
Yeah. Yeah. I love how you do such a great job of just managing expectations on in everyone's role, your client's role, your team's role. And then you set out exactly what you expect. So, I think that's such a great lesson and a really great reminder.
Completely agree.
So what has been the biggest challenge that you've had to overcome while growing your agency, and how have you overcome that?
Oh God, you know, there's been a few, you know, I think that when you're growing an agency, the biggest thing when you come out of an agency is you don't have the work to show that your agency has done because you've worked for other agencies.
Right.
And so, and that's difficult. I think that with that, you know, you lose contracts because you can't sell your services based off of a big brand that you worked for at another agency. It's, you just can't.
Yeah.
And so with that, that was a pretty big challenge initially. So when I first started our agency, it took me a minute. It took me about 4 or 5 months to land a lower level retainer client that I was doing marketing services for. So the angle that I took was, I knew that I could bring something that was missing in Tampa Bay at the time. And that was really professional headshots, because I'm a commercial photographer by trade as well. I went to art school for that.
Okay.
And so I thought, all right, Tampa Bay is missing this one thing. Let me put on an event. And let me join a couple networking groups and I'll really push to sell this high-end headshot model. And that's how I started. And that got revenue rolling in, which got me to be able to do a little bit more and appear other places to talk about marketing. And then I tapped my own network, right? And then I grew it from there. At the beginning was that I did not have the work to support what I personally, and through BKN Creative, I didn't have the work to support the services that I wanted to sell. So I had to do a different angle, right? Because I did not want investors, and we used our own money to start our business. And so that was a challenge. And then as you go through, there are challenges that come along the way. You meet some people that maybe aren't the best type of client that kind of slips through your, you know, through your onboarding interview, because we interview clients as much as they interview us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had a situation where somebody was going to be joining us on a retainer-based model, but had lied about their ownership in a business, and thus we did not get the account. But we spent money that acting like we were going to get that account. And so we were in a pretty hard place for a hot minute. Luckily, we switched gears and really, you know, started to produce some content that it was clear that we knew what we were talking about and that we could assist people and speak to how we do business. And that shifted. COVID was the worst. We almost closed for that. And that was that. Wow. We lost 95% of our business in 1 week.
Yeah.
And it was devastating. And I think that that was probably the hardest, like most of, you know, like most small businesses and across the world, really.
Yeah.
That shift was hard. What I think that the outcome of that, or what we did specifically at that time, is we focused on helping our clients for free to get them through, especially in the hospitality industry. So we helped them with services for free until we were open back up and they had revenue coming through. Brandon and I personally held our paychecks immediately. And we don't get paid a ton, right? We spread the wealth at our business, because that was important to us. So we did that, and then we held our paychecks, lived off of our personal savings, paid our team as long as we could. The first round of PPP came out here, you know, in the US, and that went to big corporations and really all the people that didn't need it. And so when the second round of PPP came out, then we were able to land, you know, a little bit of funding to help us with our team members. We were able to bring people back with only a month of laying them off. And then with that, we really worked to get the grants that Tampa specifically was doing. And I can say that Tampa Bay in general really took care of their small businesses with the grant programs that they put together. So we got a few of those. And then we really shifted on producing what people could do digitally right now that could sustain them. And we just produced that for them. So kind of giving free information out to just like really get people to do some stuff on their end that we, of course, we were doing the same thing, right?
Yeah.
And then that way we started to, once the world kind of opened back up, and Florida was really unique. They kind of were like, nah, whatever, COVID, and just kind of kept rolling. And yeah. So, but with that, you know, the, even though I didn't agree at the time with that, I think that that really sustained our local economy a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And so that really helped to have businesses needing services. And so that right. really shifted us into a certain avenue. And I think that that, so we really recovered from that, you know, where our revenue yeah. jumped from, you know, a certain percentage to jumping 60% in 1 year. I mean, it was outrageous. Wow.
Yeah.
And so we really recovered from that. So I think that that was probably the biggest challenge. And then lastly, the other challenge is, you know, this is why we're so specific about who we hire. We did have a contractor that stole money from us. And so that was probably a pretty challenging thing because it was also a friend. And, you know, when we had approached her about it, she definitely went to sabotage a few clients, and that was unfortunate, but it got us to really hone in on our contracts. It got us to hone in on who we're hiring so that we hire the right people.
Yeah.
And so all of these, so even though they were challenges, and this is what I would encourage all of your listeners and anybody out there to do, is when you have a challenge, that's an actual opportunity to grow. And so learn yes. from it and then grow from it and make some changes based off of it. And I can say yeah. that every challenge along the way, that's how we grew.
Yeah. I love that. Such wise words. I agree 100%.
Yeah.
So where do you see BKN Creative in 5 years' time?
Man, BKN Creative. Well, you know, we are growing significantly. We have some pretty high level clients at this point, as well as we still focus on our small business as well. I think that I hope we can make a bigger impact outside of Florida too. So I'm hoping that we, you know, where our focus is to grow into our Denver market, which is our West market, and mm-hmm. into New York City as well, because that's where I actually met my husband, was in New York City. And of course I worked for Whole Foods Market up there as well.
Yeah.
We'd like to grow into both of those spaces and have teams and locations in both of those spaces with our same concept. And so, you know, I really want to, and both my husband and I really agree on this, and that's taking BKN Creative and making it a scalable agency that doesn't lose focus on why we originally opened and taking care of our team members. And so, yeah, in 5 years, I hope that we have a location in multiple places that our you know, account load and our client base includes some, you know, much bigger corporations and national brands than what we currently have right now. We're on that path. And then I really hope that we break into or continue on the path of breaking into the commercial market where we're producing commercials and we're doing these, you know, photo shoots and running sets that are collaborative and fun and, you know, drama free. And that's really kind of the path that I want. I think that we just want to change what historically has been the agency world. And I think that, I think we can maybe help to do that. And yeah. so hopefully for that change that shifts the idea of how agencies have typically run into a more minority focused, everyone has opportunities. We have women in leadership roles. We have, you know, and really we're recording on International Women's Day. And so that's, you know, kind of an appropriate thing, but yeah. we really want to break glass ceilings and put all minorities into roles where they are the CEO, where they are, you know, the creative director, and they are the director of photography and those types of things. And so I hope in 5 years that everybody knows who BKN Creative is, because we have made that shift in our industry.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely. Yeah. I love your culture and I love what you guys are all about. So, but we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions.
Perfect.
So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Oh God. The first one that's probably coming to mind is Michelle Obama's book. Man, you know, I'm such an interesting reader where it takes a lot to captivate me in a book. And because I'm moving, you know, 500,000 miles an hour and, you know, whatever. And so to relax and read a book, it's actually been quite some time. But Michelle Obama's memoir was really powerful. And I think that it was because it really shaped the idea of inequality, mm-hmm. the path to become a little bit more equal or certainly have an opportunity that you deserve. And just with it, she speaks so eloquently and
I know,
just everything. I think that that's a big deal. You know, what's funny though, is when I was younger, I really loved some vampire based novels because I thought that the drama and the like intensity was like really fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, but as I've gotten a little bit older, you know, books that are written by people, Hillary Clinton's book, Patrick Swayze's book. So those types of things that are written that are experience-based, mm-hmm. I think are really powerful. And yeah. So I really focus on that. And of course, I'm kind of a film person as well. So I've read some books when it comes to just film in general. But I would probably say, yeah, I would stick with Michelle Obama for sure.
Love it. Such a good read.
Yeah.
And what does your morning routine look like?
Oh God. Well, it depends on how I'm doing the night before. If I've had a few too many old fashions, I won't wake up for yoga. But I like to start with a little session for power yoga. And then I go from there and quickly get ready and run to the office between 8 and 9. Our agency doesn't technically open until 10. And so I like to be here a little bit early just to start the day. And then it is a power through session until probably 8 or 9 at night. Our work days are quite long as our agency owners, because we are very, very wrapped into producing a lot of the work that we have.
Right.
And so, yeah, lots of meetings, lots of creative, you know, brainstorm sessions. And then I still shoot for our agency. So I do a lot of photo shoots. You know, a typical day is never the same, but my morning routine is really, if I can get to yoga and do a little release before the day starts, that's great. You know, and then coffee. I am always a lot of coffee. That's usually my morning.
Of course, definitely. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
You know, no. I'll tell you why. I don't, because I want to be a very different and unique CEO. And so in general, a lot of CEOs are focused on one thing, revenue, right? Revenue, we need to grow. And while revenue and scalability is very important, there's more that's important to me. And so I don't totally focus too much on other CEOs. I just don't. There's no other explanation other than I think that it is really great to stand on your own. There are some things that I do focus on with Masterclass. Certainly there are some really great, you know, leaders within the US, well, and beyond, really, that they have brought on that I think are powerful to listen to.
Yep.
And, but typically, you know, big organizations with CEOs, you know, they're making, you know, well over 6 figures and taking huge bonuses, and that it doesn't translate to me. So
yeah,
for me, you know, I feel like your actions and what you do are much more powerful than the words that you say. And so I don't find a lot of, unfortunately, CEOs that are compelling enough for me yet.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got your goals and your why, and you don't want to get distracted by the outside noise and things that don't align with your goals.
Correct. Yep.
And what is your favorite online tool?
Oh God. Well, I would say my favorite is probably something called Content Cal. And since we're in digital marketing, we do a lot of social media management. And the UK has actually produced this incredible tool called Content Cal. And that is a scheduler as well as a content calendar built into one. So you don't have to have two. Yep. And that is probably something that we use. We adopted it about a year ago. And something that is forever evolving and just has really been a lifesaver for our agency. That is probably the number one tool outside of, you know, the chat feature on Google, because that's a great way to talk to our team for sure.
Yes, definitely.
Those are probably the biggest tools. And then as a creative, of course, you know, the Adobe suite, as a photographer and a video editor, I obviously do use those every day. So
awesome. Great tools.
Yeah.
And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
How to run a business. Probably that. Yeah. We kind of came into it. I came into it a little bit blindly. I had never owned a business before.
Yep.
I knew that there were certain things based off of research and things that I had read that I wanted to not have an investor. I wanted to really stand on our own 2 feet so we could really control all the great things we wanted to do.
Yes.
But, you know, when it comes to easily understanding how to open a business and legally open a business, right? What's the structure that you need to have? How do you file for your articles of incorporation? How do you get your EIN for tax purposes? And what do you have to file? I mean, there's so much that
it's so overwhelming.
It is overwhelming, yeah. And so I think that, you know, I think it would have been great to maybe know a little bit more, and certainly maybe reach out to somebody that could have advised maybe a little bit. So I was a little bit thick-headed. I was like, I'm going to learn it. I'm going to figure it out. And while I did, and it was great, I think that, you know, I think a lot of people can be sometimes fearful of entrepreneurship and certainly starting something, and they don't have to be. There's actually a lot of tools out there to do it on your own, and trust in yourself. You're reading it, you know, and you definitely have visited, you know, especially the irs.gov site, which is actually pretty, it has a lot of helpful information on how to start a business. And then of course your local Secretary of State and more. They want to support small business. And so you have those tools out there. But I think that for me, I would have loved to know a little bit more prior to, you know, opening. And then obviously with scalability, I think that there was a certain, as you grow, you learn, which is great. You know, that's the best way to learn. But also, I think that there could have been several headaches that would have been avoided had I maybe researched a little bit more or reached out to somebody who had done it in the past. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I agree 100%. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Kevin. It was a pleasure to learn about your agency and, you know, what you guys are all about. You have such a cool culture that you've developed, and yeah, I'm really excited to share this message with our listeners.
Awesome. Julia, thank you so much for having me. It was a joy.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.